Hey everybody, welcome to Mom Said. My name is Gabe Gibbs.
And you'll never know my name.
Her name is Allie Gibbs. And Mom Said is a podcast made by three adult siblings, but it's not about that.
But it's not about that.
It's often about that. We're laughing right now because we usually record the intro of the episode right after we just finished the episode. And at the end of this episode, I try to accomplish something and almost hurt myself doing it.
If you don't even tease it because we have to cut it. Because it's probably against federal law.
It does.
Anyway, today we talked about birthdays and birthday cakes and fall and soup and all the things that are this season.
One, including seasonally appropriate one night stands with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Just get ready. Buckle your seatbelt if you're in the car.
If you're in the car, buckle your seat. Hey.
If you're in the car and you haven't buckled yet, buckle
your seatbelt.
If you're at home, buckle your spiritual seatbelt.
Buckle your spiritual seatbelt.
And get ready for this week's episode. We love you so much. Please don't leave us. Please come back. We love you. Hit it, Grant.
Mom said. Do you guys remember that episode we did in the basement of that rehearsal space in San Diego?
Didn't we do two?
I was so scared.
I think we did do two. Did we do two?
Yeah, we did two.
Because yeah, that was crazy. Because they were supposed to unlock that rehearsal studio for us, and then we ended up just
and I was so scared that someone was going to walk in on us, like
and
we were doing something totally criminal. Which
it looked like, shout out the Adoits who powered through because it looked like shit.
Why did it look like shit, Grant? Because it was in a dark, unlit basement.
We were in like a concrete jungle, not to be confused with New York City, New York.
In New York.
Do you guys think that if I wanted to move to New York, you would come with me?
We would come with you? What are you talking about?
Well, we have to continue to do the podcast, but so we have to live in the same city. So if I want to move to New York, will you guys move to New York?
No, we would just all pitch in to fly you out every 2 months back here. And record 8 episodes in one day.
Every 2 months.
Which actually... not a bad business plan.
No, it could work.
Because otherwise...
But you guys wouldn't move to New York with me? Grant, would you move to New York with me?
If I got a job.
Whoa.
Probably not, though.
Stay. That was almost a promise.
If he got a job, he would also move to New York? Yeah. Also, if I get a job in New York, I'm moving to New York, too.
Grant promised me that if he got a job in New York, he would move to New York with me.
Well, there's more details about what this job would have to look like in order for not just
think
any
about
job. You know?
Think about me and you, what we could do together. Unlimited. Me and Grant are unlimited.
Okay.
And I just saw a vision almost like a prophecy. No, I'm going to throw up, actually, from doing that, like opening up my throat. It's going to have throw up come out.
Are you hungover or you just felt like too much on the nose, Elphaba, because you're dressed fully in green?
Well, I'm in celebration.
And you are defying gravity.
I'm defying gravity in my spirit and my heart.
Whoa.
I'm also in celebration of the Wicked For Good trailer coming out this week. Shout out Wicked Heads.
Is it out?
It's out.
Is it out? Grant, do you still hold your stance about Wicked?
Don't.
Should we remind the Adoits of Grant's stance on Wicked?
You're going to make enemies.
I feel stronger about... I actually was just going to bring this up. I feel stronger about Hamilton being the corniest corn thing that's ever happened.
Okay.
And
I think that's an okay stance, even though I'm a fan.
Okay.
I acknowledge how corny it is.
Even my second favorite podcast, Morning Brew Daily, shout out Morning Brew Daily, said that Hamilton was corny and I felt really seen.
And first of all, those are the corniest boys in the world. The two hosts of Morning Brew Daily.
Then that means Hamilton is extra corny.
Yeah. And second of all, what's your first favorite podcast?
This podcast.
No way! Wow!
Grant, I don't know why that means so much to me.
That means so much to us, to you, to us, to we.
That means so much to me and my
friends. I think what's tricky, here's what I will say on the Hamilton thing. I think what's tricky is it's so hard to separate Hamilton from what it has spun off and created all these like cornball things. Do you get what I'm saying?
Like yeah.
Hamilton, when it happened, in Hamilton in the room where it happened.
Right.
Hamilton, when it happened in that way, what did I miss? You know what I mean?
It was genius.
It was genius at the time and still is genius. But the problem is it's like spun into all these things. It's like, I'm trying to think of a comparison. It's like when Twilight the book came out. It was holy cow.
We have to start with something Grant thinks is cool.
Oh.
Grant,
can you list some
things you think are cool?
I think a good comparison is how Squid Games was amazing, and now every show has become Squid Games.
Yeah. So now even Squid Games can't avoid its own cringe ripple that it has created outside of it
like
and circled back in on it.
The cringe ripple, we already have the episode.
Much like my theory about bars, how if a bar is really cool, that means it's soon to become washed. Because something getting too cool,
it's a circle,
actually
right?
makes it uncool, and it's a big circle.
Yeah, but I think even like specifically with like something artistic, something creative, it spawns a bunch of iterations of itself that then change the flavor of what it was. Do you know what I mean? Not Salazar. What's the one that's...
Zebulon
doesn't then make a bunch of like Zebulon spoofs that make us feel like Zebulon itself was nerdy.
Yeah.
But Hamilton does make every single Broadway show have to make these musical theater nerds rap. Do not make them rap. They can't rap.
I was wanting to talk about imagining Grant and I living in Brooklyn together. That's what got us started on this tangent. When I said our future is unlimited.
Here's the thing. Would love to do Mom Said Brooklyn. That would be so fun.
Picture this. Me and Grant in a brownstone. We walk to work.
Ooh, how much money y'all got to spend on
tons,
rent?
Tons.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay,
because
great.
Because in this scenario, Mom Said Pot has become extremely successful. So me and Grant are in a brownstone, and we also have a job in this scenario for some reason.
Hell yeah.
And our commute to work.
Wait, Mom Said has popped off so much that you can pay rent by it and you still have a job?
Yeah, because we're high achievers.
Hell yeah.
And me and Grant, we're walking. It's our first day at work in Brooklyn, both of us. And we're like, time to go to work, time to commute to work.
And you guys
and we
live
step
in the same
the
brownstone.
Yeah, and then we step out the front door and we link arms like the friends in Wizard of Oz. And we say, let's walk as long as we can together. And I say, ease on down the road. And then someone at a local bodega is like, do you guys want a ham and cheese?
Hey, you kids want a ham and cheese?
And we're like, toss it here, George.
All right, here you go. Hey, do you guys need any condiments with that? You're my favorite people in the city. Whatever you need, I'll give it to you.
And we say, no thanks, we like it dry.
All right, you guys have a good day. Hey, make sure to stop by my brother who works at the coffee shop down the street. He'll hook you up too.
So we are eating our Lincoln arms. We're eating our sandwiches with our free arms. And we discover as we're walking, our jobs are in the same block. So our commute, we can do the whole thing together.
Hey, it's me, Jeff, the brother of George who owns the sandwich shop. You walked right past my coffee shop. My brother told me you guys were coming and you worked in the same building. Do you guys want coffee?
Yeah, dude. John?
Yeah.
John, do you have oat milk vanilla latte?
Of course. I already made it for you because I knew that what you wanted. I knew it. And you guys are the greatest thing that's ever happened to Brooklyn. And we're so proud of you. Glad your podcast took off. That was so exciting. And also that you guys kept your job so you can have healthcare. Because there's no way that Mom Said is ever going to provide you guys healthcare, even if it provides you a salary.
Thank you, John. And then me and Grant are walking, and we pass by a little box, a cardboard box, and we look inside that box.
Let me out!
And it's a puppy.
Hey, it's me, a puppy. Hey, welcome to New York, it's me, a puppy. Are you guys looking for a companion to live inside your brownstone with you? I come personally, fully trained. Personally trained as well.
A vision almost like a prophecy, I know.
No, you know what's in the box?
It sounds truly crazy and true. The vision's hazy.
Okay.
Finish the line.
Grant?
I don't know.
That's perfect. You were about to say?
I was going to say, what if a mini Lin-Manuel Miranda was in that cardboard box?
Oh, yeah.
It's a nightmare. Yeah. Why would we take that home?
Oh, yeah.
That?
Do you have a Lin? Do you have a Lin?
Lights up in Washington Heights up in the break of day.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys?
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a good one.
I break up and a little punk I gotta chase away.
I do actually have one Lin-Manuel that I've done on the podcast before, which is this.
Which is your... Yeah. Your musical theater guy making any exit anywhere. Red carpet, bathroom.
Party.
Party.
Date. Imagine you have a one-night stand with Lin-Manuel Miranda and he stands up.
He says, don't worry, I called an Uber.
he said, that was great.
One-night stand with...
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? How devastating would that be? If he exited on your ass in a theatrical way, my ego would never recover.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
I'm still waiting for Lynn to text me.
He sends you this emoji.
He's like a...
And that's how you
like
know he'll Lynn, never text you
there's
back.
There's like a Lynn-shaped hole in my wall.
There's a Lynn-shaped hole in all of us. Okay. This week was my wife's birthday.
Whoa! Actually, my subject about the week is about birthday as well.
That's amazing. You have a trickiness, which I'm sure we'll get into, which is that your best friend, one of your best friends, and your sister-in-law, who's also one of your best friends, have the same birthday.
Everyone in this world I love, barring Grant, my Brooklyn roommate, is a Libra. I'll say that. I'll say that. So you can imagine how expensive this month is for me.
So you can imagine how expensive this month is. And you can imagine how no decisions are getting made because Libra. Do you know what I mean? No decisions.
Wait, what do you mean?
Libras can't make decisions. That's one
thing
I know.
Yes, they can. I can make decisions and so can you.
Well, because you're Libra and then Scorpio.
You guys, I'm Libra. All my little extra bits and bobs are Scorpio. And the woman who read my chart chart said it was the darkest chart she'd ever read in her life. And the guy I was dating at the time said, that makes sense.
Yeah. All her bits and bobs are Scorpio. All her bits and bobs are Scorpio.
You better all her bits not and bobs. Cross me, cause I'm Scorpio. I seem like I might be nice, but my bits and bobs are Scorpio.
I don't like it.
Rising. Setting. Venus.
No.
Scorpio.
No.
Anyway.
No.
I can make decisions, and so can you. I don't think that's a fair assessment of Libras. One thing I will say is that Libras have a reputation for being flirty. That, in my experience, is 100% true.
Libras are flirty? I don't know. You tell me. What do you think?
I'm flirting with the audience right now.
What do you mean? Libras are flirty? We're both Libras. You tell me.
Do you feel flirted with?
You tell me.
Do you feel flirted with America?
That's crazy. Give me your hat.
Give me your hat. Gross. Yeah.
Remember hat stealers? There are people who are still hat stealers, even though they aren't stealing your hat.
No, not as grown-ups, right?
Do you get what I'm saying? Yes. Just not
you mean the energy.
Bro.
I believe that the Venn diagram between someone that could be considered pick me and someone that steals your hat is a perfect circle.
I think they are kind of the same person. Yeah.
That's why I said it's a perfect circle.
Yeah. So you remember earlier, 1 second ago, where you said, what? And then, you mean the energy? And then I said, what? Oh, perfect circle. We're catching up.
I don't know if we're ever going to meet in the middle today. I'm going to be honest.
And we'll get there. We'll get there.
I'm going to be honest. I got off at the wrong foot this morning.
But what if I got off on the same wrong foot? We'll get there.
Then we're both on the same wrong foot.
Yeah.
Ease on down the road.
Yeah, okay.
Here's my question is, why is there such a stigma around pick-me's? Like, You're just trying to get bitches.
Yeah.
Well, I actually don't think that's what a
Well, yeah, you're doing all the performative. Okay, in my opinion, pick me is you're doing all the things. You're very obviously doing all the things that you know the other gender would like you to be doing.
To get attention.
To get attention.
To say, hey, pick me. Yeah.
I think people.
Male and female bitches is gender nooch.
Yeah, it is gender nooch.
I think people have a general allergy and a general allergy to lack of authenticity and a general desire for people to show up honestly in a space. And pick me is, I think, perceived to be fairly dishonest.
Why?
Because you're behaving in a way that you think other people want you to behave, as opposed to behaving how you behave and are.
Okay, agree. Except that in a way, we're sort of all behaving that way. And I think you're trying to say this one is just putting it all out on the table.
No, I don't disagree with what Grant's saying. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of why people hate it so much.
Oh, yeah, it definitely rubs the wrong way often. I think, well, here's what I'll say. It rubs the wrong way when it's not for you. Do you know what I'm saying? If you're into the pick me and they're saying pick me, you're like, I pick you. Mm-hmm. But if you're not interested in the pick me, you're like, stop trying to be pick me.
What does a boy pick me say? I'm going to decide if I like it.
Oh, he's reading feminist books in front of
him. And he loves Claro.
Oh, like performative feminism. Yeah. I like him.
You like him?
Yeah. That's nice. At least pretend like you like women, please. I'm dying out here.
At least pretend like you like women.
I'm suffocating. My throat is closing from all this even lack of pretending that you like women. A performative feminist guy has a book that he's reading on the side of the road that says 10 tips for the feminist guy.
I just learned about you can just kind of let them feel their feelings. You don't have to try to make them feel better, you know?
Performative feminist guy wears the kind of sweater that David Beckham wears in that documentary where he's beekeeping.
Hey, feminine products should be free.
They should.
I agree.
A performative feminist guy is bobbing his head with the mullet haircut that he got last week.
Hey, 77 cents is not enough.
Should be a full dollar.
You're saying things that are true.
I'm glad we agree. So it's probably good that...
performing a feminist guy, at least pretend. What you're saying as a joke is actually real, so at least pretend.
Isn't it crazy that women couldn't have credit cards until the 70s? You want to kiss?
The least you can do is pretend to believe in women and think of them equally.
You know what? Greta Thunberg is like really doing some active stuff and it's so exceptional. You want to kiss?
The least you can do is pretend.
Oh my gosh. I really love... pretty much everything you do, I love. Do you want
to
kiss?
Is pretend to think of us equally. The least you can do is pretend. Imagine with me a world in which I make the amount of money I'm supposed to make.
Which is what? Say a number.
Girl. $500,000
a year. Great. I love awesome. That. Grant, how much money are you supposed to make?
All of it.
Oh, great. Great.
I'm
great,
just great. Saying I would be unstoppable great. If I didn't have boobs.
You know what I think?
No, I think
the performative men are doing a decent job. You know what I think they're missing out on that what? I haven't seen yet? So, you know, part of the performative men is the wired headphones instead of the AirPods, right?
Yeah.
How have they not gone full Walkman?
Oh. Are you talking the CD version or the tape version?
Well, why would that be for a girl?
Because it's just pushing the boundary.
Well, why are wired headphones for a girl in the first place? It's all pushing like, I'm grounded, I'm of earth, I'm different, I'm not like...
he's of the
earth. I'm not like thoughtless tech. I'm like artist, poet. Do you know what I mean? So all things totally. Pushing.
Like, I want the headphones with the like shitty foam that you wore in the computer lab in 2007.
That like slides and gets loose.
Yeah.
And then if it falls all the way off, you have to feel that plastic against your ear with the like dots in it.
Can you gotta put the foam sock back over the earpiece.
Can I tell you guys something that is a gratitude?
Yeah.
For one whole week, I was missing my really nice over-the-ear headphones. And I was really sad about it. I was telling everybody, have you seen my headphones? Have you seen my headphones?
The way you said the word telling from my angle was insane.
Really?
Yeah. It was on the side. It was telling.
With my tongue?
Yeah.
Did you see that, Grant?
No, because you were facing him. But side, it was telling. It was crazy to watch.
Okay. I was telling everybody, I miss my headphones. At the Friday Coffee Club, I was telling Cameron, I am leaving on a trip and I don't have my amazing headphones. He said I could borrow some of his.
Sweet.
It's just really nice. And then a dinosaur case. Anyway, gratitude to Cameron. And then gratitude to the fact that I...
Found your headphones.
Found my headphones!
Yeah. Okay, back to my wife's birthday was this week. And I don't know if you're a person who's listening who has a partner that you are with. And also, nope. Maybe... And also, well, even just a long-term relationship of any kind, but specifically, here we go. I'll get on the topic and off the topic really quick. We just had a baby, so everything's really busy because we just had a baby. We're drowning, and it's a baby, and baby's so busy, and baby's so busy. That's it. That's all I'll say, because I know people don't want to hear about your kids. Nobody wants to hear about your kids.
You're going
to
be really disappointing that one guy who hated us on YouTube.
And you're doing baby talk. So I was talking about baby and you were doing baby talk. So that one guy who hates us on YouTube hated the last 30 seconds. Okay.
Well,
we're not going to call it out because that would be headed down a dark path. Okay. What my wife's birthday was this week and I was going to buy her something she's been wanting.
Track pants.
Thank you. Track pants. She's been wanting track pants to incorporate into her wardrobe. Something that I think is great and I'm supportive of. I think I have a sense of what she's picturing when she says that, but I discovered when I went on to adidas.com that maybe I don't actually. So I was like, okay, maybe I won't actually try to buy the track pants. A crazy thing to try to do.
Buying track pants is a normal thing to do.
No. Taking a swing at, hey, I think I know what kind of track pants you want and let me go ahead and just commit.
Can I tell you something?
To these.
Can I tell you something? I'm not going to be on your side in this.
I know. Commit to these. So I went to Adidas website. Couldn't commit. Then I was like, let me get an Adidas gift card. What if she doesn't want Adidas? Then I'm like, okay, let me get a Visa gift card. Then I'm like, nothing in the world is tackier to give your wife on her birthday than a Visa gift card.
It's horrendous. So
I got her a little... hand-drawn piece of paper that looks like a gift card that says two pairs of track pants. And then I put a bunch of like fake credit card numbers on it and an expiration date and a little like Visa symbol up at the top. And on the back, I said, hey, I went to the Adidas website and tried to buy you track pants, but then I panicked on buying you track pants and I was going to get you an Adidas gift card, but then I panicked about committing you to a brand. So then I was like, maybe Visa gift card, but Visa gift card doesn't totally make sense. So then I committed to giving you this little coupon that looks like a gift card just to make sure that you get the two track pants that you want and you can even have more than two.
Grant, are you charmed by this?
No, you're like a six-year-old who gives their parents a hug coupon book.
I'm so glad we agree. I'm like, Gabe, just buy some fucking track pants.
No. Oh, this also be...
You are not that lost on what kind of pants you want.
Let me also say, this was part two of a gift. This wasn't the only thing I gave her on her birthday.
Was part one a diamond tiara?
No. Because we don't make the $500,000 a year that you make.
Word.
Part one was she's been into matcha, so I got her these fancy matchas, and I wrote a beautiful card from her and our daughter. Don't worry about it. I won't talk about the kid. From me and our daughter, and I put I put the Sharpie in her hand while she was asleep and I made the baby sign the card, and it looks really cute. And okay. I made the dog sign the card too, which is I drew a paw print. So it's from me and the kid and the dog and a beautiful, thoughtful card.
That's adorable.
Some lovely matcha effort that she's been very excited about. And then inside the card was this little gift card thing, and it was charming now? Go ahead. You hate.
I hate it because it's just like, what now? Like, you could have gotten her track pants that maybe aren't the exact track pants she would choose, but you weren't going to be so far off. You have good sense.
I have good
and
sense.
And then she would have had, like, a gift to open and wear to dinner or whatever. But instead, she had a little piece of paper that you drew on with presumably a crayon, a single red crayon. And then now we'll go buy the track pants, which is great. But, Gabe, she could buy track pants not on her birthday, no, on her own anyway.
I understand, but here's what I run the risk of. If the track pants aren't dead on, and you know, obviously people are picky about what they get. If the track pants aren't dead on, what I have handed her is a task.
Or,
what I've handed her is something that she has to now deal with in addition to us dealing
like
with the baby.
If you don't like these pants and you want to exchange them, let me know which ones you want to exchange them for, and you do that task.
Sure. But regardless,
you carry out the task.
But regardless, now there's then pressure.
You return the track pants. All you had to do is buy something for her birthday. And if she doesn't
it,
you return it.
I did.
That's all you had to do. Giving her a coupon for her to buy something with her own money is crazy and not a gift. It's something opposite of a gift. It's a task, actually.
No.
That's what you were afraid of.
No.
You it is a task.
Right. You may be right.
Am
wanna,
I right?
You want to learn something about me that everyone's going to hate? Not everyone's going to hate. I never return anything.
I'm sure the Grant Cam was live the whole time there where he thought about what he wanted to say, said it, bam, 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 his own statement.
I never return anything. If I made a mistake, that was my fault. Charge it to the game.
Yeah.
I'm not
returning
shit.
I love returning things.
You know
I get
that.
It makes
I get
me
that.
Feel so like responsible.
Also, I'm not trying shit down at the store. I'm not returning shit.
I get that.
If I am gonna buy something, I should have already thought about it. And if I fucked up, I fucked up.
Yeah.
You mean you need to? Okay. This is not to turn this back around to a feminist issue, and it's not a feminist issue. But what I will say is, there is no, speaking of my bits and bobs, there's no way I could guess how something would fit my body.
See, this is why I'm saying,
well,
this is why my track pants thing, because you can't guess. There's no way, like, Lauren can't guess what's going to fit her.
Track pants are different.
No, Lauren can't guess what's going to fit her. I can't guess what's going to fit her.
Okay.
So guaranteed I'm handing
her.
Can
I say something else? If you know she wants track pants, fine. She can buy her own track pants. Come up with a different gift then that's a gift to her.
I did.
The matcha?
Yes.
The edible powder?
She's fired up about the edible powder, bro.
Fine. I just think that, like, I was at a restaurant the other morning. I called Gabe to see if he wanted to come with me. He called me back too late. I was already at the restaurant. And I was like, how was Lauren's birthday? And he told me this story. And I was like this. All right, well, I gotta go.
All right, give me a speed haiku on
what I got for Lauren
on birthday
for her
gifts.
Birthday.
Hold on.
Was a sterling silver bracelet with engraved the title of the song that her daughter was born to.
That doesn't fit her wrist, and now she has a task to try to get it to fit.
I'll get it to fit. I said I was gonna fix it.
All right.
What is sterling silver?
I don't know.
As opposed to non-sterling silver?
As opposed to silver.
I don't know.
You cannot say that my bracelet is the same thing as a coupon for track pants, Grant.
What is sterling silver? As opposed to... I need to get out of the habit of... What is sterling silver? As opposed to regular silver.
This is a new discovery.
Sterling makes no sense.
I'm looking it up while we're talking.
Sterling silver is, I think, just something to make it sound cooler. Sterling silver.
Sterling silver. Wait, I really like sterling silver. I think sterling silver is the character that brings you that voice.
His name is Sterling Silver. Okay, we'll that'll be a new segment on the podcast.
We'll visit with Sterling Silver. Okay, Al, can you do a speed haiku, please?
What does the sterling and sterling silver mean? Sterling silver refers to purity and standard of silver alloy. Specifically, sterling silver is composed of 92.5% pure silver and 7.5% other medals. I really like the number.
It's grade. So
I really like the number 7.5.
Great. So it's sterling silver is not full silver, but it's better than not.
It's a guarantee of quality.
It's a guarantee that it's at least 92.5%.
Wait. I just came up with a new thing. Came up with a new thing that we need to do. And if something's fire, it's pure, it's dope.
Uh-huh.
Sterling.
That's sterling, baby. Sterling silver.
All right. I'm a huge fan of sterling silver. Okay. Speed haiku of birthday gifts for wife. Go.
Sterling silver wrap around her wrist will always beat your crayon shit.
That was so many extra syllables. No. Sterling silver wrapped.
Wrap.
Sterling silver wrap around her wrist will always beat your
crayon shit.
Oh, okay. I miscounted. Wow.
Sterling silver wrap around her wrist will always beat your crayon shit.
Yeah. 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 Agree.
So.
Okay. Well.
We'll get them next year.
Pal. Well, I did my little best.
We'll get them next year.
I did my little best. I did my little best being as on duty as I am these days. Full-time dad. Full-time dad. Busy, busy.
We're all busy. Okay. So. My thing. Oh, did you not want me to say a thing?
No, you can. You can.
Did you not want me to bring a subject?
No, I did. I really did.
I wanted to talk about birthday cakes.
Okay.
Now, I'm the baker of the birthday cakes for my friends, for the most part. There are other bakers swirling and twirling around. But for the most part, if a birthday cake needs to be made, I'm going to be the one making it. And furthermore, I'm a big believer
how do you get designated that person? You make a cake once and then you're that person forever? Or do people ask or it's now just assumed? What I find
interesting is not that many people here in Los Angeles bake.
Whoever's the most Midwest is doing the baking.
I don't know. Most people I know, and please feel free to refute me on this, but most people I know, if they needed a cake for something, they would buy a cake. They wouldn't even think to make the cake. Like, making a cake is sort of
a
crazy task.
It's almost like pottery.
It's almost,
you know what I mean?
Like pottery. I think, sure.
Or like woodworking.
You know what I mean? Like, I needed a bench and then you were like, well, of course I'm making it.
No, I'm saying like to those people, it might as well be woodworking.
Oh, like they have no gauge for how it goes.
Yeah. They're like, that feels just as crazy. You making a cake is just as crazy as someone making a coffee table.
Maybe. I think people have a gauge for how to bake, but it's not something that's like, for me, we grew up, like, our mom baked a lot. Both of our grandmothers baked a lot. Baking is like a thing. I wouldn't even consider it a hobby. It's just a thing I feel like I'm supposed to do, even.
Whoa. What?
It's in me bones.
You're supposed to do it?
Not like out of obligation, but like, of course you bake. Like,
got it.
You bake like you make eggs in the morning.
Got
like, it. If you need a cake or like a dessert for something, you bake it.
Okay,
like,
so you're the baker.
So I'm the baker. I recently made a strawberry shortcake cake. If anyone would like a picture of that, I'll send it to you. It was bare on the sides and it had stacks, and I made a strawberry sumac fresh jam to go in between each stack and a cream cheese cream frosting. On top, strawberry sumac jam, cream cheese. It was a hit. The people ate the whole cake.
Uh-huh.
Last night I had an idea. For my friend's 30th birthday, I was going to go, instead of baking, get her the donut that she loves so much from Bob and Grandma's.
Yes. The maple one? Is it the maple one?
No, she likes the raspberry one.
Oh.
And I thought I would make a donut tower for her and put candles in it as the cake for her birthday.
Mm.
I get to Bob and Grandma's. They don't make the raspberry one every day, but they have a blackberry one. She said it's very similar. I'm like, oh boy. So...
What? It seems like that lady does not know the difference between raspberries and blackberries. Blackberries are a softer sweetness. Raspberries have a tartness to them.
They have a different texture. They have a different color. They have a different everything. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll buy a bunch of these blackberry donuts. These donuts are $5 each. I can't buy enough donuts for 50 people at $5 each. I would have to take out a loan, bro.
$5 per donut. Here's the thing. They are so good, but that is not a, yeah, that's not
that's
like
not a reasonable price.
That's not a birthday treat. I buy bring enough for the whole class.
Two blackberry donuts. And then I drive to another establishment where I buy regular donuts for cheap. Now I've got some whack donuts and two good donuts in a stock. And I'm like, this is not a 30th birthday dessert.
Yeah.
So I get home and I panic bake a chocolate cake.
Panic bake a chocolate cake.
Three tiers, florals on the outside, chocolate cake with chocolate frosting out of panic. One of the layers risen too high and then it was chunking off. And so we were having like a big ordeal with it. But now I have a bunch of donuts, two specialty wrong donuts, and a random chocolate cake with flowers all over it. I get to the party. I just assumed I was assigned to bake the cake because I always am.
Yeah.
Some girl made a cake. Not some girl. Friend of mine. Friend of mine made a cake.
Some girl made a cake. This bitch showed up with a cake.
And it was a beautiful vintage heart-shaped cake. It was so cute. I was like, oh vintage. My gosh. Like vintage style.
Should have been made that day.
Vintage style heart-shaped cake. It was so cute. It was so colorful.
Grant hates the joke. Allie's steamrolling over the joke.
Let's take it. Do you want me to sit and acknowledge that it's not that good of a joke?
Yeah. That's what the podcast is.
Not that good of a stinker of a joke. Moving on. So I have now a chocolate cake, random, a pile of random donuts, this cake that this girl made. And I said, let's skip my desserts, despite the fact that they took me all day long. And let's just go with your adorable cake.
Yeah.
They say, no, there's tons of people here. Let's do your cake too. Two cakes. Humiliating. So now we have two cakes. Another person shows up to the party. Another cake. Three cakes. My cake is by far the worst one. And now I've spent the entire day driving around to get a bunch of donuts, baked a random cake, and now I've showed up to the party with three cakes, one stinker cake. That's mine. Imagine how humiliating to assume everyone wants a cake from you and to find out that they don't really want that cake. To assume that a chocolate cake will do and find out that someone else did the bake.
Oh! Oh, you brought... Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my God, that's awesome. Why don't we put them both on the counter? That's
just
really good.
Just leave mine in the fridge, please. I can't take any more of this pain, this humiliation.
No, yours is so cute.
Just leave my chocolate cake in the fridge, please.
No.
Despite the fact that the flowers on the top match the floral arrangements I made for the party. My humiliation.
No, this is so great. No, seriously, Al, you did great.
This humiliation.
Wait, someone else brought a cake? Oh my gosh.
This cake-based humiliation.
Cake-based humiliation.
This cake-based humiliation.
Cake-based humiliation.
And to make matters worse, I had to be the one to cut all the cakes at the bar. And one of the cakes, purple frosting, has dyed my knee purple. Now, why did I have frosting on my knee? Let me tell you something. It was everywhere.
I woke up this morning.
So many parts of my skin are dyed purple from this purple. No. My cake wasn't purple. It was somebody else's cake.
No, but I'm
purple
saying.
Purple cake.
Wasn't your job to do the cutting and distributing, yes, which means if it got everywhere?
It was my job. It was getting all over me because I had some shots of tequila before I did this cake cutting.
You can't be operating heavy machinery like that.
All this to say, I did some research on the history of cakes. I know we should probably move on from this segment.
We do have to speed up at some point, but
ever birthday cake known to man was for a Greek goddess in the shape of the moon. And
They put candles on it to resemble the light of the moon.
She said, I know we have to move on from this subject, but let me take you back first to ancient Greece and the origin of birthday cakes.
But really, the way we which know birthday
us?
Cake.
Which goddess?
Armatus, Armetus, Armidus.
Armidus.
Armatus. Armidus.
Armpitus. Okay.
Apparently, she's a goddess. But the way we do cakes now is a result of ingredients being circumvented in the Industrial Revolution.
Okay. You have to ask me to do some form of thing.
Can you do a cake-based haiku, please?
Sugar, butter, flour.
Ah! Sarah Bareilles.
Are the ingredients of friendship and... great fear. Sugar, butter, flour are the ingredients of friendship and great fear. For you.
For
in this
me,
case,
for
I'm being
me,
specific.
For me.
I'm being specific. Okay, we've been doing a thing where we've been asking you to send in your problems and we try to solve your problems through the power of...
garden music. Wait, wait.
What words did you just say?
I should have both microphones.
No, no.
For the podcast?
No, 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 no.
Wait, wait,
no,
let's
no.
do one.
No,
give me your
no,
microphone.
No, no.
Give me your microphone.
No. We've been asking you guys to send in problems that you have so that we can hopefully help solve them through the power of beautiful music. We have a whole backlog of these. There's so many to get through, but this week we're going to do one from our new friend Chelsea, who has sent in one that she needs help with. So this is from Chelsea from, I don't know where you're from. But maybe you'll say it in the
thing. Maybe they'll say it.
Hi, my name is Chelsea, and I have a big problem with my cousin that hopefully you guys can help me solve.
Classic.
So my family and I will have pizza nights quite frequently, and we'll order a big sheet pizza for all of us to share.
Sheet
and
pizza.
My cousin and I both like the end pieces that have the crust. Naturally, they're the best pieces. So what he does, though, is he'll take a crust piece and he'll cut it in half so that one half is the crust and one half is the non-crust. And he'll do that with like four or five pieces and just eat the crust part and leave the reject middle part in the box for nobody to eat because it's garbage. So I need him to see the egregious nature of his ways and understand that there are rules to communal pizza. So I'm hoping that you can solve my problem with the power of song so I can get him to change his ways and be a more civilized pizza eater. Thank you.
That is horrific behavior.
That is, Chelsea, that this is, now, people have sent in very serious problems. This is by far the most egregious.
No, that's
this
not true.
This is by
remember
far.
Remember that girl who had the Monsep pod playing every time she turned on her phone?
Yeah, that is egregious.
There will never be one worse than that.
This, however, is not an issue of tech turning against you. This is an issue of your family turning against you. This is diabolical.
Blood relative behaving God. In such a way that's completely outside of consideration for your thoughts and feelings, especially since you also love the crust. So you'd think he would look at you and say, instead of eating six crusts and leaving six middles, how about we have three each of the outside pieces? Now, that would be a solution for him to come to, but that's not how you're gonna solve the problem because you can't force him to come to this realization.
2 weeks in a row, you have solved it. You have given a solve before you started singing.
Well, that's not the solve.
But I need, yeah.
That's not the solve. That's what he should do, but that's not the solve.
Okay, do you have a solve?
Not yet, I need to think.
Okay.
Because she has to do something.
Right.
It can't be him. He's not going to come to a realization on his own. He's obviously a monster.
Bake your own pizza. Bake your own pizza with those special pans that make it all crust. Have you seen those special pans that are like a snake pan so that every piece is a crust piece and then you'll have only crust pieces for you and your cousin?
Wow.
Oh, Grant's instinct was to share. I was going to say you could eat it in front of your cousin.
Yeah. I like either bake your own pizza, bake your own pizza that's entirely crust. Or you could start a new family. Start a new family with some people you can actually trust. I'm pissed about that. I had a delightful rhyme. But yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Make your own pizza.
To maybe you can find some people made of crust. As Allie suggested, maybe you could find some people made of crust, and those could be your friends. You could fix the whole problem, but then watch out, because your cousin will eat your friends
made of crust.
That's a huge problem, because famously your friend, your cousin, has no rules. He has no rules. He has no sense of the way things are supposed to be, so he'll just eat crust, just
even if they're people.
Even if they're people.
So you should make your own pizza.
Make your own.
Make your own pizza.
And start a new family.
With only crust.
And start a new family.
You should bake your own pizza.
Make your own family.
Make your own pizza.
Make your own family with people crust. You can trust.
And your new family made of crust. The gumdrop button.
literally. Those are the options. Make a new pizza or start a new family of people made of crust.
I'm sorry for singing over your perfect rhyme.
It happens rarely. I struggle with rhyme.
And I sang over it.
And you absolutely stomped
on it. And what's
on
horrible is I had a better idea than you.
Not even. Not even. You had an idea that actually led to crust cannibalism. You
right.
Actually, which would eliminate the cousin issue, because then he would get sent to pizza jail and put on the crust electric chair.
If you commit a crime against a person made of crust, you would go to regular jail or pizza jail?
Pizza jail, dude.
Grant.
Where do you go? Where do you go when you commit a crime against a regular person? Where do you go?
People jail.
Yeah. So where do you go when you commit a crime against a pizza person?
Pizza jail.
Thank you.
Pizza Hut.
No. Pizza Hut is where those people live.
Oh, interesting.
Pizza people live in a Pizza Hut, and if you commit a crime against a pizza person or a crime against their hut, you go to pizza jail. Duh.
Will you play the piano for me?
Yeah. Yeah, I will. In what way?
I'm going to do the next segment.
Oh, you know what? I'm very excited for that, actually.
Really? You think you've done something well? He has no idea what's coming. I'm going to rank my brothers. I'm going to rank them 1 and 2. And one of them will be blue.
That was a rhyme.
And one of them will be 1.
That's the first time you gave away the ranking within the theme song, the ranking of the brothers.
Well, you might be crying because you're so excited.
Okay.
What I actually thought was tough about that was, for whatever reason, it was really hard to follow your piano.
I was doing that on purpose.
Oh.
I was making it impossible because I knew where the ranking was headed. And I was pushing you. I was tagging endlessly, pushing you out of key.
You know what? I was like, I must be more hungover than I think because I really cannot find the key.
Nope. It was me doing that to you because I knew where this was headed. Go ahead.
The number one brother this week is Grant.
Sterling Silver.
My brother, Grant Sterling Silver Gibbs.
In that pre-record cheer,
he's like,
there's some pretty masculine dudes at the end. Can we hear it one more time? There's a...
Yeah!
There he is. There he is. Yeah!
Can I say I've never heard a man that excited for anything in my life?
No, no. And also, anytime a man is that excited, he says, let's go!
Let's go.
He says, let's go!
I guess at a sports game.
When did we start saying, let's go? This is like 10 years ago. Now all dudes say is, let's go!
Let's go. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go, dude!
Go, bro.
I want to say that more. That feels good. Anyway, keep
Grant,
going. Grant
Sterling
wins. Why?
Silver Gibbs is my number one brother.
Why is this?
Because he invited me to lunch after this.
Oh, that's sweet.
And where are we going to go? And where are we going to go? And where are we going to go? And what are we going to eat? I would like some kind of soup. As it's fall now, and I want to eat soup for lunch. I know it's hot outside, but I really want soup. It's more about the vibe than anything else. Cream-based soup or broth-based soup.
No, no, no.
Seriously, what are we going to do for lunch?
I don't know.
Where are your friends that we're going to lunch with? What part of town are they in?
I don't know.
Grant, did you write anything in your journal today or no?
Yeah, I wrote.
Anything to share with the people before we depart?
Are we making this a new like?
We can if you want.
Weekly segment.
I would love. Okay. I would love for you to have your own weekly segment. That'd be fire.
I wrote. Es lunes, vamos Lions.
Okay. It's Monday, vamos Lions. For those of you that don't speak Spanish.
He's speaking Spanish in his journal about football?
Yeah.
That's good. That's his feelings. That's totally his feelings.
Es lunes, vamos Lions. Is that all that you wrote in the journal?
Yeah.
We got here before Gabe arrived. And Grant and I, we don't have the key to get into the studio, so Grant and I, when we're here before Gabe, we sit in the hallway on the ground and we wait for Gabe to come. Like we're, it reminds me of like high school, like to sit on the ground like that.
Because I have the keys?
Yeah.
I have to show you guys where they hide the other key.
We should say it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, Grant sat down and opened up his phone and started watching a football game on the floor.
Boy.
And I said, oh, boy.
That's so nice. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Mom Said. It's a podcast made by three idiot siblings who we call the Adoits. And if you are a listener of this, you are also an Adoit. And also, just to clarify, Grant, I know you saw it. She scooched the microphone on the leather. It was not a fart. It did look like you put the microphone down by your ass and farted, bro, in the middle of my end of show announcement.
But Grant looks so happy.
He looked down and he went, because it was so out of left field that I knew, oh my gosh.
Imagine I just farted into the microphone. If you're new to the podcast, the reason Gabe's saying Adoit is because when we first started this, I named the group chat between the two of us Idiot Group Chat. Yeah, the three of us. There's two of you. Idiot Group Chat for just idiots, because there's another group chat for business people. And I spelled idiot wrong.
So she spelled it Idiot Group Chat for just Adoits. So if you're a listener of this podcast, you're a fellow Adoit like us. We're so glad that you listen. Please send this to your homies. Let them know that they too can feel insane on a Wednesday morning listening to us lose our minds about
And by the way, we totally want to marry you.
What?
We want to marry you.
Yeah, we want to marry you.
Legally.
Legally.
So, anyway, see you next week.
We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for coming. And to any of our younger listeners out there, thank you so much for listening.
We gotta go.
We gotta go. Goodbye.
Why did you sing over me?